Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office Equipment Solutions North America wide.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I knew that was going to happen. You can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. I wanted to know, does the situation that Winnipeg faces itself in right now with Montreal make it even more frustrating or less frustrating that the Oilers were vanquished in four straight? Or conversely, do extenuating circumstances like an injury to Dylan DeMello, a suspension to Mark Scheifele, and the fact that Connor Hellebuck's at a sub-900 save percentage change the complexion of how that series should be? And then we started talking about contracts. And, well, just before we go to John Shannon, former defenseman Marcus, Texas, to say, Bob, we have to stop being so generous when it comes to contract extensions. Connor McDavid is the signing bonus. RNH is a good player. But how is his performance worth $6 million a year? It's not. Other teams are able to make stupid decisions. The Oilers can't make those decisions if they wish to be successful. The Oilers can't give away extra unnecessary cash if they want to garner quality depth. Enough with this he's an Oiler BS. If he bled blue and orange, he'd see the lay of the land and get in line. It's up to RNH if he wants to do the right thing by this club. That text comes to us from former defenseman Mark. All right. We head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline for Legacy Heating and Cooling. We welcome back John Shannon. John, how are you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. I know you heard former defenseman Mark's text.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid is the signing bonus. It's up to RNH if he wants to do the right thing by this club. Enough with the he's an Oiler BS. If he bleeds blue and orange, he'd see the lay of the land and get in line. What would your response be to that?
Well, as much as that sounds really nice and sounds what every Oiler fan wants to hear, the bottom line is that a hockey player's shelf life in the National Hockey League is finite. It could be 4 years. It could be 14 years. And so it's in your best interest to go out and try to make as much money as you can over the term of your playing career. And I don't think anybody can begrudge a player for saying, no, I'm going to try to get the best deal I can for myself, for my family, for my future. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You whether at a certain point, you have to make what's the best business judgment for you, because when the player leaves the organization, and quite frankly, the loyalty for the most part disappears, and it disappears both ways. So I don't begrudge Ryan Nugent-Hopkins trying to get the best deal possible that he can.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. John, part of the, I don't know. I got about four or five phone calls early today from out east, like calls that were coming in 7:30 Edmonton time. How did the Oilers get swept by Winnipeg? And I'm like, you're not watching the Winnipeg Jets that played against Edmonton play against the Montreal Canadiens. I predicted Winnipeg to beat the Canadiens, and there's a distinct possibility the Jets get swept. But, I mean, can we have envisioned a scenario where they lose DeMello in the first shift and Scheifele gets suspended for the bulk of the series?
No, I mean, certainly, listen, they miss Mark a lot. They miss DeMello a lot. Although I don't think that they have played near as well in this series as they did against the Oilers. And, you know, from that perspective, I think that they were built better to play against the Oilers than they are the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, at the same time, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois has not played very well. So that's, I think he played better in the Oilers series. I think he was a factor physically in the Oilers series. Nikolaj Ehlers has not had the scoring acumen in this series that he did against the Oilers when he came back for the last couple of games. I don't know where the captain is, Blake Wheeler. You can go across the board, I think, of all 12 forwards or 13 or 14 that they will have used by the end of this, and probably say the only guy that has played at the same level over that period of time is Adam Lowry.
Yeah.
And that's and you can't, you know, this is why this journey of winning 16 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs is such an amazing trek. Is because you have to continue to play at the same level, if not better. And right now, you know, Winnipeg wasn't able to do that, and I doubt that they can win four straight games. And I think, Bobby, you've watched the games. I think Montreal's getting better. I think Montreal's played better in six consecutive games now.
Well, it's interesting because I know talking to Ken Holland at the start of the season, he's like, you know, that's a team that because of the type of defense, and we don't know about Jeff Petrie's availability for today, but that's a team that's got real size. They might be one of those teams that better come playoff time, kind of like the LA Kings were maybe, John, back in that 11-12 season, because by the 13-14 year, LA was a... They'd already won a cup by that point. They were a pretty good team. But you could see the progression and growth the Kings were making in the back half of the 11-12 season.
Remember, another comparison to the Kings. What happened midway through the season that year when the manager said we're not getting enough out of our players?
Terry Murray was fired.
And Daryl Sutter came in. And here we are. You know, February 24th in Montreal, Claude Julien gets fired. And not only did they bring Dom Ducharme in, who I think took time to understand what his role was behind the bench, but Alex Burrows came in and created a little bit of an edge and a little bit of a different thought process. And a lot more responsibility was thrown Luke Richardson's way as the defensive coach. It took the team a little time to adapt, get through a COVID issue, get through Carey Price's injury, and they come into the Stanley Cup playoffs pretty healthy. But I think there are some comparisons to that Kings team of 2012 simply because they thought they were better than they are. And listen, some of the guys that played really well early for Montreal have not played as well as we thought they would. Josh Anderson has kind of, you know, he was a bit of a factor last night, but Josh Anderson played much better early in the season than he has for the last 15 games.
Yeah.
So there are some interesting storylines with this Montreal team. And quite frankly, Bob, I think they're faster. I think they're faster than I thought a lot of people realized.
Yeah, one more factor is Carey Price. I mean, 9:44 the final.
Well,
three
but
games.
That's almost an assumption.
Yeah, it is. Is it though? Like, has he kind of reestablished himself as? Oh yeah, this guy's still pretty good because the last 3 years, Johnny, his regular season save percentage, he didn't kill it, but he was dealing with some injuries.
Yeah.
9:44 the final three games. I just, you know, it's funny because, you know, you've got people, you know the Oilers. You know, they must have been terrible against Winnipeg. And I'm like, that's what's so frustrating about what happened. Edmonton lost three overtime games. They outshot the Jets by six shots per game. Edmonton was probably the better. Now, some of the advanced analytics guys, we always have to take this sort of information. And, that kind of makes sense. But there's some guys that would suggest the scoring chances, the A-grade scoring chances, were not dominating for Edmonton. That it was an even Steven series. But 950 versus 912 save percentage, and Hellebuck was at 950, and here we got Price at 954, and Hellebuck's at 897. And some would say that's just the simplest, if you're looking for a go-to stat that reveals what's going on, that's it. Just look at that one stat, save percentage for the two goalies. That'll tell you usually who's winning the series.
Well, and this is a group of forwards for Montreal that do go to the front of the net, and the puck gets there too. And they have created chaos for Hellebuck. I mean, look at that Arturi Lehkonen goal last night. That was one of the ugliest goals in the history of mankind. I mean, you could, in a circle of 7 feet, you could count 10 players. And if you can create chaos like that in front of a goalie, and Montreal's done a better job of creating chaos in front of their goalie, in front of Hellebuck, than the Jets have in front of Price, then you're going to have a good chance to win. And that's what Montreal's done so well.
We're joined by John Shannon, Bob Stauffer. You know, it's interesting, John. I think things have evolved. You need to get the most out of players right from the get-go. You can't afford to engage in breaking down, building up relationships. That's completely passe, especially in an entry-level system where you have to get productivity out of players on ELC deals.
Right.
You know what I mean? Coming in. I'm not a big fan of publicly calling out players. There's been a battle involving Jake DeBrusk with Boston. Lots of coaches have a player that they may not, that they get a little bit frustrated a little quick with. And it seems to me, I mean, DeBrusk had 46 goals the two previous years. He's had a tough campaign. The margin is tight between Boston and the Islanders. I was interested to see another decision made again today. Jake's back out of lineup. Just your thought on that.
Well, you know, I mean, you're right about Jake having a tough year when you consider the COVID issue that he had. He did not get off to a great start. There were, you know, when he came off COVID, he was thrown back into the lineup and expected to perform at a high level. There's obviously something that is unspoken between Cassidy and DeBrusk from that perspective. But you know, early in the playoffs, you know, when they needed something, Jake DeBrusk did a pretty good job for them. And I think that there are whipping boys every once in a while. It's not fair, but that's a reality of professional sports. I actually, when you brought up the discussion, I thought you might have been asking about Jared Bednar after Game 3 in Vegas.
That's where we're going next.
Here's a team that had lost its first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They were still up 2-1, and Bednar ripped the heck out of everybody in the organization, from the towel boy to Nathan MacKinnon. I don't think that works anymore in 2021, particularly when your team has been so good and so effective in the Stanley Cup playoffs up until Game 3. I think that's when you go out publicly and you protect your players, and you don't admonish them for what was a disappointing game, but just say, hey, you know what? Sometimes we have a stinker. We're going to be better in Game 4. Well, they weren't better in Game 4, but I just wonder. You know, players are different in 2021. Players want to know why in 2021. It's not a case of punch him Lack or toe Blake or even Scotty Bowman anymore in his first reincarnation in Montreal. It's a case of players are partners, and you have to treat them better.
Well, there you go. And so you can hit on that because you have experience. You grew up during that evolution on the TV side. Just with Scotty, I mean, I don't think the average listener, maybe under the age of 40, realizes Scotty played a lot of games with players, and it was a power game at times. And at times, it was with some of the best players in the game.
Well, and it was with a team that, you know what, how many had 9 Hall of Famers on it he would play games with. Just to try to make sure to keep them on edge. This is why guys like Mike Keenan don't coach anymore. That system doesn't work anymore. And from Oiler history, a guy that never really recovered from it was the famous line of Orville Tessier during the 85, I want to say 85 year.
You got it. The heart transplant.
When they said, our team needs heart transplants. Well, how am I, if I'm Denny Savard, how am I going to go out on the ice after the guy who's supposed to have my back does that to me publicly? Those days don't work anymore. And if Vegas advances and Colorado loses this series, I think a lot of people are going to point to the undressing that Jared Bednar gave his team that might have been construed as a sign of panic, but certainly could have been construed of airing dirty laundry publicly as a terrible mistake.
Now, Marc-Andre Fleury's also outplayed Grubauer over the last couple of games, but the shot totals, it's like 2-1. That's what stunned me. I didn't think Vegas, and me, you know what? The Chiseler is going to be texting me out of Vegas here and saying, come on, stop, wake up. I didn't think Vegas was going to be able, like, Colorado looked damn near unbeatable. I mean, they were just, you know.
Yeah, but I think you do have to. The outlier in this series is game one. You know, Vegas came in after that tough seven-game series against Minnesota, played in 48 hours at elevation in Denver. I mean, Pete DeBoer put Robin Leonard in for two reasons. A, he needed to give Fleury a rest to prepare him for the rest of the series, and then he needed to give Leonard some game time just in case Fleury got hurt or Fleury stunk the bed himself later on. I almost think that Vegas went to Denver for that first game waving the white flag before they started.
Yeah.
They needed to survive. They knew they had 2 days rest. Then they would be better. And that's exactly what's happened. Really, in many ways, in the last three games, one that Denver won, that Colorado won, and Vegas won the other two, the Avalanche have only really outplayed them one period of nine. One period of nine, have they played better?
Vegas has been really good.
And the other thing, Bob, is, and this is where there's something special in Vegas. And I'm going to get a phone call from Alan Walsh, his agent. But you know, there was a time Max Pacioretty was one of the most selfish players in the game, and that was one of the reasons why that there were issues in Montreal at times. Max Pacioretty has become one of the great team players in Vegas. Max Pacioretty has bought into what, whether it's Pete DeBoer or Kelly McCrimmon, or even more importantly, Marc-Andre Fleury and Mark Stone and Alex Pietrangelo are buying into. And this truly is a team now. You know, the Marchessaults, the Carlsons, Alex Tuck, this is a big, deep team. And Pacioretty, who came from Montreal, has bought into it, understands his role, and has made a difference when he's healthy enough to play.
All right, John, I'm going to get some quick hitters here for you. John Shannon joining us for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Pay no overtime rates in their 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy heating and cooling. So here we go. Jack Eichel, of these three teams, which organization needs to do the move? Rangers, Anaheim, or Los Angeles? I'll tell you,
it's a tough one because Anaheim doesn't make sense yet, so I'm going to say the Kings.
Okay, and I'm going to say Anaheim. I actually think it's going to be Anaheim.
I think they're two years away from needing Jack Eichel. I had a talk with Dallas Eakins last week, and he said, you know, we're at a massive rebuild here, and I don't think Eichel needs to go to a place where he can win now.
Is Bob Murray going to survive the rebuild?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Bob Murray might be in the will there.
Okay. He's in that type of the Samuelis then.
Yeah.
Could you see a move potentially Sam Reinhart for one of Elvis Merzlikins or Jonas Korpisalo?
No, because I think the Sabres goaltending isn't as bad as people say it is.
But they got to get their Finnish goalie re-signed.
Yeah, they would. But I think that they'd be better to do that. Then worry about that. I mean, listen, Columbus does have a few goaltenders. They're going to have to make some changes anyway. And I suspect that with Yarmo and JD back together again, they're going to have a simpler, a longer term battle plan to change things in Columbus.
And when the next time
Sam Reinhart, by the way, Sam Reinhart, if you look at any success the Sabres had, particularly after Don Granato took over, Sam Reinhart was really good. Why are we getting rid of Sam Reinhart in Buffalo?
All right, one final one for you, John. On the league side, the next time there's a game at Rogers Place, will we have full fans?
Full fans? No.
Nope.
But five figures.
So 10,000 then.
10 to 12,000, yeah.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, listen. Things are moving in the right direction. The fact that a Canadian team can travel back and forth, albeit in a bubble, in without having quarantine. The Blue Jays have announced baseball wise that they're going to play in Buffalo until the 21st of July. You know, Ontario's going into phase one on Friday with 60% vaccination levels. I think that I would not be surprised to see the Blue Jays playing in front of limited audiences in August in Toronto, which would be such a marvelous thing. I think we're going to be in good stead after Labor Day, Bob.
All right, that is our NHL insider, John Shannon. John will rejoin us on Wednesday. John, thank you for your time. And we'll tell you that guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, which reopens for in-person dining June the 11th. So tell Maggie Taylor and Chef Eltaf that Oilers Now sent you. That's Ruth's Chris. It's the greatest steak.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You've ever had. We'll take a quick timeout, come back with the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. This is Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm James Neal from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 12:55 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. This one comes to us from Rob at Edmonton. He says, Bob, Montreal are scoring greasy goals from in front of the net. The Oilers didn't get into the greasy areas enough. That's why Hellebuck's save percentage is so much lower than it was against the Oilers. Okay. I can buy that. I think the Canadiens' defense maybe got a few more pucks through. I know that on direct shots, Hellebuck tends to do pretty well. Sometimes when there's a little bit of movement there, that can be an issue as well. Randy and Brooks has got an interesting perspective on things. On two different fronts, he says, Bob, it's not reflective. Regarding what's happened with Montreal and Winnipeg, it's not reflective on the Oilers. It's reflective on the Oilers, not the Jets. The Jets were not that good. The Oilers are just one-dimensional, predictable, not equipped for the playoffs. Offense is Veronica. Defense is Betty. In the past, the Oilers' Reggie GMs ignored the Bettys at their peril. Hopefully, Archie Holland recognizes this and spends the money accordingly. That one from Randy and Brooks. Wow, you took us down a path. I don't know. Some might say that I'm a jughead or something. And Peter out of Wainwright says this. Bob, let's talk about the important stuff today. Who do you got for the Euro? Well, I did call France in 2018 to win the World Cup. It's tough to bet against France. Peter and Wainwright's going to go France and Croatia in the final. England doesn't even make it out of their group, says Peter. I had somebody tell me last night that this is like England over the last 5 years has got some of the best young players in the world. I still think France is way better than England. Let me think about it. Let me do a little bit of research on that front. I don't know, can you bet against France, given how deep they are right now? Where's Germany at? Aren't they usually pretty good too? I know, here come the Italians. And there are some people who think Italy's going to bounce back, and they've been quiet the last couple major tournaments. All right, you can text us at any time at 780-496-0063. As promised, into the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown, Injury Lawyers. the heavy hitters in injury law. Trent Brown, big-time hitter back in his days for the EE football team, now known as the Edmonton Elks. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Jeff Petrie, a game-time decision tonight for Montreal in Game 4. He caught his hand in the camera hole of the glass in Game 3. Bit of an awkward one. He only played 16 minutes in that game, so we'll see if he goes tonight. Bruins defenseman Brandon Carlo, he will not play tonight against New York. He's got a concussion. Could return for Game 6, according to Bruce Cassidy.
There you go. All right. 12:58 in Edmonton, off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell at 105 today from Global Television, the longtime Edmonton-based sportscaster John Sexsmith. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.